This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time feed you some more football. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, last hour of the show. Want to hear a song, favorite female artist or band, send a request, pause for text line, 410-583-1057. If you want to get in, you can. We'll get to you around 1:30 or now if you're quick enough on that trigger. How about the offensive player of the week in the AFC, Bo Nix?
He's played well the last few weeks.
Four touchdowns, 28 of 33 in the win against Atlanta, blowout win. Has he now put himself in a strong position to challenge Jaden Daniels for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah. I mean, Bob, when you saw him here, what did you think? I thought he was...
I was impressed even though they got their asses beat.
Yeah, me too. I thought he moved around better than I thought he did, too.
Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC, Taysom Hill. He wasn't taking no guff as he scores three touchdowns on 138 yards rushing as New Orleans has won two in a row. Defensive Player of the Week in the AFC, Terrell Bernard from the Buffalo Bills as they end Kansas City's undefeated streak at a sack and an interception. And that one, Defensive Player of the Week, Cameron Kitchens for the LA Rams. 28-22 winners over the New England Patriots. Eight tackles, forced fumble, pass breakup, and a pick. And duh, Special Teams Player of the Week. Nolan, I'll give you less than $5 if you tell me who the AFC offensives or the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week is.
Gotta be Boswell.
You are correct. I give you less than $5 as he kicks six field goals against the Ravens. And I think you can make a case that as we sit here on, the 20th of November, 2024, I know the guy from Dallas just boomed a 64-yarder in a loss. Best kicker in football right now? Because Bucker's on the shelf, and he deserves consideration.
Didn't Aubrey... Bob, he made it, but then there was a penalty or whatever, so then they refused the kick and then went... And then they got the first down and then end up going for it on fourth down later and didn't make it.
Well,
didn't make the fourth down play.
And Carl Brooks... of the Green Bay Packers, Special Teams Player of the Week as he blocked the potential game-winning field goal by the Bears. So there's your Players of the Week in the National Football League through Week 11. But as we look ahead to Week 12, Ravens go to L.A., taking on the Chargers. Monday Night Football, Ravens in need of a win. Chargers trying to keep that hot streak rolling. Jim Harbaugh was on the Rich Eisen Show and was asked if the Chargers do, in fact, model themselves after the Ravens.
Down throughout the roster, it's kind of what we're striving for. You know, watch the Ravens or watch our team. We hope to be looking in the mirror. That's how much respect we have for the Baltimore Ravens.
And Bob, when he says that, I mean, proof is in the pudding. He's got coaches, general manager, players, all from the Ravens. So the best way to incorporate that type of atmosphere and stuff is put people in every different area of the organization, which they did.
We'll get into the film tomorrow for the Chargers and the stat breakdown coming up on Friday and revisit all of that again Monday since the Ravens do play. But Justin Herbert, always been kind of wanting that next level performance from him. And you know, the overall stats aren't like MVP worthy, even though you're kind of watching what he's doing now. But quarterback rating 102.1, 13 touchdowns, only one pick, completing 63.5% of his passes, but playing much better in the recent weeks here. So Justin Herbert, and he's a nimble guy in the pocket. He's got a cannon arm, can make all the throws. I mean, he was considered to be a franchisee guy. What was he, the third quarterback picked in that draft behind Lawrence and Tua, if I'm not mistaken. But he might turn out to be the best of them all. And the Ravens are going to get to see that up close and personal again Monday night.
Well, Bob, his three leading receivers, McConkey, Palmer, and Johnston, you know, they average 14-3, 18-3, and 16-1. So they get the ball down the field a little bit. And it's not because of, you know, a ton of yak yards. You got 200, and then you got 72 and 162. So they get the ball down the field. And that's, I'm sure a lot of that is G-Row and his play-action pass.
And we'll get back to the Ravens being 32nd in the NFL in pass defense. Didn't haunt them last week against the Steelers. Maybe this could be more of a real concern Monday night against L.A. because the weather's going to be nice. They're going to be fired up. It's national TV. And this Quentin Johnston, after a debacle of a rookie season, he's having a really good 2024.
Yeah. And, yeah, the kickoff's, what, 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock out there. So they'll be fired. Now, Bob, a lot of Ravens fans, I would guess, right?
Ravens travel well.
Yeah. And, you know, the Chargers, we'll have to ask Mike Harmon tomorrow. What type of crowds that the Chargers get there. But, I mean, they're not, they haven't been there that long. I mean, they're the San Diego Chargers. If it was in San Diego, that place would be packed.
And they're still the second team to the
no
Rams.
No doubt. Well, yeah, the Dodgers, too.
Well, I mean, of the NFL teams, they're like a distant second to the LA Rams, who do have a history with that city, even though the Chargers, in their beginning, were the L.A. Chargers. Then they moved to San Diego. It's a, I don't want to give you a history lesson. Google it. It's there for you to read yourself. Going up against your brother, John, Jim. Jim and John, how's this going to work out, man?
It's respect. It's love. And nobody could have a better brother than I do. I mean, nobody has it better than have a brother like John Harbaugh. He is he's the toughest competitor I know. And he just really pulls it out of you.
You know what's interesting is Jack going to be there? I'm sure Jack will be there, right? Jack Harbaugh,
giving
you
their schedule for Monday night.
I would imagine, and he'd just be cheering for a good game.
NFL Lunch, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan tomorrow night as we've talked about Steelers at the Browns. Kevin Stefanski, it's been a disastrous year for his team at 2-8, but they are home. It's a rivalry game, division game, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. You're on national TV, and you're going to rise to the occasion.
You understand where you are. You can't hide from that. But it doesn't change the fact that we have an opportunity Thursday night against an AFC North opponent that on Thursday Night Football, all the things that go with that. I think the guys are excited for that opportunity.
I hope you're excited about it. We need you to win, Kevin. That's going to be good. And you know, we heard Will talk from Pittsburgh.
Will Graves.
And what he said was, this is always, what have they've lost four of the last five or four out of.
He senses an egg laying, perhaps, by the Steelers. And Russell Wilson, who didn't exactly light up the Ravens, was asked about the challenge of that Browns defense here.
Well, I mean, they're obviously tough physical. Obviously, it starts up front for them. They got some great players on the defensive side. I think they fly around. They're coached well. We got to bring our best football.
They're going if Pittsburgh's playing, if Schwartzy's got them rocking and rolling, and I think they will be. You know, the crowd get into it, especially if they can get a little bit of a lead and Chubb has a little bit of success. Keep the crowd in it. Then I think Cleveland got a good chance to win.
Come out there and set the tone early and let Pittsburgh chase you just a little bit. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back on this Woman Crush Wednesday, Ryan Wilson, coincidentally enough, is a Steelers fan, but he's unbiased. He's just here to give his thoughts on Week 12 of the NFL season from CBSSports.com, and we'll look at the schedule for this week. Thanksgiving's a week from tomorrow. So, yeah, we're getting there. Look at the schedule for Week 12 coming up in a matter of minutes, but let's talk about Week 11. We're heading into Thanksgiving. Couple of games. Week 12, get his thoughts on from CBSSports.com. Front of the show. He's the man. Just ask him. He's Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's up?
I appreciate Holiday and Madonna. That feels about fitting for where I am in my journey. How you doing?
All right. Ravens Steelers. Outcome already know it, 18-16, but been talking a lot this week on our local station here, and then we have Will Graves from the AP cover the Steelers mentioned it as well. Lamar Jackson's performance, you can't have 120 quarterback rating every week, but his was in the 60s. He looked a little off, so as you watch the game, did you notice maybe early on that Lamar Jackson was, I don't know, the Steelers were in his dome to some level?
Yeah, I think a lot of the credit has to go to the Steelers' defense because offensively they certainly weren't doing anything. And you guys would know better than me, but it felt like one of the Ravens' best defensive efforts of the season. And it's just one of those things where it just feels like Lamar against the Steelers, it's just oil and water for him and that offense historically. I don't think it means anything short-term or long-term for the Ravens' offense or Lamar because he was playing, again, at an MVP level coming into this game. And they just got after defensively. Derrick Henry never fumbles. He fumbles the ball. Had to strip Isaiah Likely right before halftime. And then the insane interception later in the game by Peyton Wilson. Just things you really can't account for when they had opportunities to move the ball. So I don't mark that up to anything other than just one of those days. And I don't think it means anything long-term. The only concern for me, not necessarily they're a game behind the Steelers in the loss column, but they have to face the Chargers this week, and that could be a situation given that the Steelers are facing the Browns tomorrow. Never say never, but you would imagine that the Browns are going to be in a tough situation coming out of that game.
Now, you mentioned Lamar MVP, and I would assume he's still the front runner to win the third time in his career, but who are the other two, if you want to just keep it at three, that are going to challenge as we're down the stretch here, Ryan? And is Bo Nix now kind of breathing down Jaden Daniels' neck for Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Josh Allen, for me, is in that conversation because he's dragging that team up and down the field. I know they have Amari Cooper, but they've had some other injuries at the skill position. Curtis Samuel hasn't exactly popped perhaps as much as they wanted to. And the defense isn't as deep as it was in recent years. So I give Josh Allen a lot of credit for what he's done there. And I would have thrown Jared Goff in the mix until he threw the five interceptions the other week, but they still won that game. So I'll have him as a 2B behind 1 and 1A and Lamar and Josh. In terms of Bo Nix, so when I go back and watch him, and Vinny, I don't know if you got a chance to go back and see him, I give Sean Payton a lot of credit, and I don't want to take anything away from Bo Nix, but last week's game, it was 7-on-7. He had clean pockets all day long. He was just throwing what he typically does. Screen passes and short to intermediate throws. But he was connecting on them, and I give him all the credit in the world because he's making the plays he has to make, and he's gotten better each and every week. I don't think he's quite yet in the Jaden conversation, but if we're doing a redraft based solely on what we've seen this year, I think it's Jaden, then it's probably Bo Nix, then it's probably Drake May, and then you get to Caleb Williams, who finally had a pretty good performance with the new OC last week in Thomas Brown. But, yeah, credit to Bo Nix for doing what no one outside of the Knicks family thought he would be capable of for 11 weeks.
Hey, Ryan, what surprised you more, the Ravens' pass defense or Justin Tucker missing two field goals?
Justin Tucker struggled this year, and it's been weird because he's making fewer than 80% of his kicks. I'm going to go there because he, I think, without question, is probably the second-best player on this team over the last decade, and it may not even be close. He and Lamar have been critically important to what they do. And even before Lamar got there, we knew that Justin Tucker was always reliable no matter where he was on the field. So that to me was weird. I'm not going to say that's why they lost, because the two-point conversion, I have some questions about the play call, but it wasn't because Justin missed those kicks. But it's been a recurring theme, and that troubles me. And I've seen enough of this Steelers offense to know that any defense in the secondary can look pretty good on any given day, so I'm not going to go that far. But look, I'll tell you this, man, and I remember, and you know, your guy Kyle Hamilton coming out of Notre Dame, Vinny, there was all this him and hawing about him running the 4-7 or whatever he ran. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best defensive players in the NFL, and he is a game changer at every level. And I love watching that young man play.
Now, with Detroit, Ryan, best team in football right now?
Best team in football, and they're playing with the most confidence. And again, when your quarterback can throw five interceptions and you can still win, and they have so many ways of beating you, Ben Johnson will run it down your throat with Knuckles and whatever the other guy is supposed to be called, their little nicknames there, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And then they have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Again, a day three guy. He ran, I think, 4.6, and he is one of the most reliable slot receivers in football. And then the defense, even without Aiden Hutchinson, is getting after it. I think Aaron Glenn loves the young players that he has. And when Aiden comes back in January, they're going to be even better. I think, you know, we were sort of joking about Dan Campbell with the introductory press conference, and that team buys into what Dan Campbell's saying. Brad Holmes has done a tremendous job putting that team together, and credit to Jared Goff for bouncing back after, you know, being a sort of an average starter when he was in L.A. and taking this game to the other level.
Hey, Ryan, I'm going to disagree a little bit with you on the tomorrow night's game. I think this is one that Cleveland will be – this is probably their Super Bowl, playing against Pittsburgh at home on a Thursday night. And don't you think after that physical, emotional game that the Steelers could be down some?
Yeah, no, 100%. I was trying to talk myself into an easy win, but it never is. And again, the worse the team is, the worse the Steelers play against that team, it feels like. And here's the thing with Jameis. He might throw five interceptions. He might throw six touchdowns. So you never know which Jameis
you're going to get. We've seen that.
Exactly. And, right. And, I mean, speaking of Kyle Hamilton, he catches that ball, that game's over, but he didn't.
Way to bring that one up, Ryan Wilson. You forgot about that one.
but right, I don't sleep on the Browns. And the Browns have given Steelers fits, especially on these nationally televised games, Thursday nights in particular. So, look, they no-showed last week, the Browns did. They didn't tackle anyone against a suddenly resurgent Saints team, but that was last week. It only takes one Myles Garrett strip sack to turn the flow of the game around. So I'm with you. If you told me that game came down to a final field goal, I would believe it. And the Steelers have been known to lose to bad teams when they were in pretty good situations. So we'll see. Fingers crossed you can somehow beat a 2-8 Browns team. We'll find out together tomorrow.
Hey, Ryan, a lot of teams need quarterbacks. What are you thinking? How many quarterbacks can come in and help teams in the draft this year?
So I'll pose a question to you guys that I've been sort of thinking about with my buddy Rick Spielman when we do the podcast. So Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are going to be first-round picks, and after that it could be nobody or a team maybe takes a flyer on another player, depending on how the next 2 months plays out in college football. But if you're the Raiders, for example, and Tom Telesco doesn't trade up or down, I think they have the fifth pick right now, and let's say you have the choice between Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders or a Justin Fields, who's going to be a free agent and probably not likely back, I think that becomes an interesting question about which direction you want to go, because, and we've seen it with these young quarterbacks, guys, if you get the right offensive coordinator and pair him with a young quarterback, you can get the most out of them. C.J. Stroud, we've seen it. Jaden Daniels, we've seen it. And I think that's, even if you talk about Mike McDaniel and Tua in Miami, and I think if it's Tom Brady's now part owner, and if they feel like they can get the right coordinator in there and they like Justin better, maybe that's the direction you go, and you can draft a tackle or a wide receiver or whatever you want with that fifth pick. So that's one of the things I'm going to be monitoring going forward. But I think Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are going to be the guys right now. And I think even though they would have been QB 4 or 5 a year ago, they're going to probably both be top 5, top 6 picks. And then the question becomes, what do you do with Justin, who will probably be the most sought after quarterback, once free agency hits.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joins us every week, every Wednesday, as a matter of fact, video at Haney 105.7 The Fan. Ryan, last thing for you. If the playoffs started today in the AFC, Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Houston, Chargers, Ravens, Broncos are in. Of those teams, who's going to be out and who's on the outside looking in? Who could get it?
I like the Ravens.
You need to calm down with all that stuff, man.
Yeah, you scared me. Yeah. I like the Bills to make the deepest run just because of Josh Allen. One person can certainly get you there. I'm not still sold on the Broncos. I think they could be on the outside looking in. And then the question becomes, Colts, Miami, Bengals, are they going to make a move? It wouldn't surprise me if the teams that we see in the top 7 remain in the top 7 just because there's no one really pushing them at picks, slots 8, 9, and 10 as we sit here.
Yes or no, 49ers make the playoffs at 5-5 outside looking in?
No.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, bringing the heat, ragging on the Ravens subtly, but not so much. CBSSports.com, Ryan, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ryan
Wilson, CBSSports.com. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll look at that schedule for Week 12. The NFL, you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. We got the Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw, then Inside Access takes over at 2. We'll have some stuff coming from one winning drive. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. Desmond King added to the practice squad. As you mentioned it earlier, Vinny, Arthur Millett's injury may be a little bit more severe because he was in a walking boot with a calf last week. And unfortunately, after a slow start to his Ravens career last year, played really well down the stretch, but just battling injuries so far in 24.
Yeah, he can't get on the field. And like you said, Bobby did play extremely well last year. I mean, you he was making plays, you know, blitzing the quarterback, coming off the edge, making tackles in the run game. Kind of like what Adarius Washington's been doing, you know, previous to him moving to the back end. But, yeah, that having him play the way he's been playing Millett, you know, hadn't really had an opportunity to do much. So I don't know that that's a huge hit, you know, if King's got to come in. But I think what they'll do, Bob, is I think they're going to put Stevens on the inside along with Humphrey on the inside, then Wiggins on the outside, and Tre'Davious White on the outside.
And John Harbaugh, to that point, did say expanded roles.
Yep.
And Trey White is how he's called out there at One Winning Drive, former All-Pro Tre'Davious White. Now he gets an opportunity to show what he can do. And look, we read the Pro Football Focus stuff when he was at the Rams, didn't play well, was eventually benched. Now got his first taste of Ravens Steelers, and it looked like he belonged, let's just put it that way.
You know what the problem with Pro Football Focus is you
know, lose focus.
Yeah. But the thing about it, you say, oh, he played bad. I mean, I watched the game where he got beat twice in the Arizona game for touchdowns. But then when you look at the things that he does well, you know, look at the things that he does well, and then how can you incorporate that with this team? And, you know, I mean, smart, got ball skills, and got awareness, zone awareness and everything, plays physical at the line of scrimmage. You know, so all those things kind of fit. So, you know, I mean, Pro Football Focus, you know, they're not looking at it. What will he do for the Ravens? And that's why I said when they got him, after I watched the film, he'll be able to help them, you know, just because the other guy can't find a football.
All right, schedule week 12 of the NFL. Pittsburgh's at Cleveland. We've talked about this. Steelers 4-point favorites. Will Graves, Associated Press, covers the Steelers, thinks this could be a game where Pittsburgh takes it on the chin. They've won 5 in a row. They're 4-0 with Russell Wilson at quarterback, coming off a physical game in the against the Ravens short week. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that this could happen, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously, around these parts, we're rooting for Cleveland. Oh,
yeah. Plus, what Will Graves said, too, Bob, was Cleveland's won 4 of the last 5 in Cleveland. So, Cleveland plays them well at home.
Steelers, by the way, 4-1 on the road. Browns are 1-4, the one win. Yeah, against the Ravens there. Minnesota at Chicago. Vikings, 3.5-point favorites. If the Bears want to make a last-ditch effort, they were 4-2 at one point. They lost 4 straight. Now they're struggling. They've already fired their coordinator, head coach Eberflus. He could be out the door as well. Minnesota's won 3 straight games. You know, Vikings 3.5-point favorites in this one.
And the Packers players on special teams, Bob, they didn't help out much because they said, because the big discussion was Eberflus let the clock run down from like 28 seconds down to 2 or 3, and they didn't run another play. The Packers special teams guy said, oh, if they'd have run another play, there's no way we'd have been able to block this kick. So Eberflus's seat is really, really hot.
Lions, Dan Campbell's seat is nice and warm. Well, not he's in a good spot. It's warm because he's awesome. 9-1. They're at the Colts. Shane Steichen, I think, is in good shape here.
Yeah.
But, you know, Indy's another team needs to win to keep pace in the AFC. Lions trying to maintain their advantage on top of the NFC. Lions 7-point favorites here. Anthony Richardson, 3 touchdowns last week.
Yeah, and he'll be running a lot, I'd imagine. But I think Detroit's got too much speed, Bob, for Indy. I don't know that they can keep up. You know, can Richardson put up 30 points?
Yeah, I think he's going to need help.
He's going to turn it over, Jonathan Taylor. What I'm saying. He's got a good chance to turn it over.
This is going to be an interesting game to pick. Based on the spread, it's a no-brainer. Miami minus 7.5. But Drake May's given them a pulse offensively. And Stevenson could do some things on the ground. I'm not totally sold on the Dolphins, another team that needs to get hot down the stretch here. But I'm leaning Miami, but
well,
I'm not 100% comfortable in that. This is one of my upset specials here.
Where's the game at?
In Miami.
Yeah, I like the Dolphins in that one, Bob. I mean, the thing about it, Drake May, like you said, what he's done, Bob, is if you're the organization, we got our guy. And then now we can build.
Tampa Bay needs a win. They're at the Giants. Probably will get one. 5.5-point favorites are the Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield's having a really good year, starting to get a little healthier, it seems, at receiver. I mean, Godwin's not coming back. He's out for the year, but Evans could be looming here shortly. Giants going with Tommy DeVito. See what they have here down the stretch.
Yeah. Well, they don't want Jones to get hurt. Right. And they have to pay him $25 million next year. So, basically, they said that they're throwing in the towel, is what they said. And they, if I'm them, I'm guessing that they're hoping that they lose all their games.
Daniel Jones, QB3.
Yeah. He won't. And I was reading, Bob, where they're talking about, should we even let him on the practice field?
Just ban him from the city. You're out of here. Dallas at Washington, Commanders minus 10.5 as they try to stay in the playoff chase in the NFC. Kansas City looking about bounce back from their first loss at Carolina. Kansas City's minus 11. Hey, Panthers won two in a row coming off a bye.
Yeah. And you know what? I hope Bryce Young has a good game.
Yeah, because he's taken a lot of heat.
Yes.
Since he was drafted number one overall.
And he's had how many coordinators? You know, like four coordinators over.
Tennessee at Houston. Texans coming off that blowout of Dallas. They're big favorites here, minus 8. Denver's at the Raiders. Denver minus 5.5 coming off that big win last week. And we'll see if they are, in fact, for real. They'd be in the playoffs if they started today. 49ers at Green Bay. Big game for both teams. 49ers. Ryan Wilson said, no, they're not making the playoffs. If they lose at Lambeau Sunday afternoon, he might be right. Green Bay, 2.5-point favorite.
I'll say this, Bob. The Packers or the Niners don't win too often in Green Bay late in the year like that.
Unless Aaron Rodgers is quarterbacking in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they lose like Jimmy G beat him a couple years ago. Cardinals at Seattle. Arizona's at first place in the West. They're 1-point dogs against the Seahawks, coming off a win against San Francisco. Eagles at the Rams. So if you're a fan of SoFi Stadium, you get Sunday night football and Monday night football. Philly at L.A., Eagles minus 3. Eagles won 6 in a row.
Yeah, and the thing I like about that is, you know, the Eagles – they'll get back Tuesday. You know, I mean, short week, kind of a short week for them, but it's also a short week for the Ravens playing the Eagles.
Ravens play Monday night at the Chargers. That spread holding strong at Ravens minus 3. Nolan, before we get to a break, then get to your fun out. What do you think of the spread? Appropriate? Ravens, they were favorite at Pittsburgh, lost. Favorite at Cleveland, lost. Favorite in L.A.?
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with it, to be honest with you. I think we mentioned a little bit earlier, there's been a handful of games this year for the Ravens where the spread comes out and we're kind of scratching our heads saying, well, I think it'd be a little bit closer than that. Or even last week's game thinking, hey, the Steelers probably should be favored at home here after everything they've done. But something about Vegas, man, the way they look at this Ravens roster, I think they see a much more talented roster than their record indicates.
7-4, 4 conference losses. Speaking of spreads, Maryland football, 6.5-point dogs at home against Iowa. Coming up noon Saturday, it's the last home game for the University of Maryland. We know the drill. They need to win 2 straight to get bowl eligible. The likelihood of that happening is pretty slim. Let's keep it real, man. I mean, do you see it happening? I see a loss to Iowa, and then I see Penn State kind of doing what Penn State normally does to Maryland, which is most times blow them out. Unfortunately, been watching that for years. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Funhouse coming up next. Inside Access takes over, too. It's Woman Crush Wednesday here on The Fan. I forgot all about this till you mentioned it to me off the air. The HBO Hard Knocks in season.
Yeah.
AFC North premieres December 3rd. And today's the 20th. So we'll be heading right into the fun time of the year. That'll be after the Eagles game.
So I guess they've been filming it.
I think they said the camera crews show up Tuesday, so the day after the Chargers game.
Okay.
Are they going to get happy Harbs and then stressing out Harbs ahead of Philly? And if they lose that game, they're going to get some fun, maybe some finger pointing. I'm not a big Hard Knocks guy, to be totally honest with you, but this one will be intriguing because it's playoff pushing for a couple of teams, Steelers, Ravens, certainly, and who knows what the Bengals bring in.
Yeah, because you got two teams, especially, you know, if the Bengals lose next week to the Steelers, then the you got two teams that are done. So that kind of makes it kind of crappy.
Yeah, and I think they're kind of hoping, because years past, they've started the in-season in addition to the training camp, the usual Hard Knocks. And last year, you watch it with the Dolphins. I think they were the in-season team.
They were.
Couple weeks, it's entertaining. But then it turns into the same thing
over
and over, especially a team like the Dolphins that's losing a lot down the stretch and falling out of the playoffs. I think their idea and thinking is, all right, give us a whole division. One of these teams is bound to be entertaining the whole way through.
You mean not Mike McDonald wearing his caprice?
I mean, he carried the show. He was the only entertainment factor.
I would think
Tomlin will be like the kind of the main dude in it. Unless the Ravens are winning, then Harbs will be good.
I think the star is going to be Jameis Winston.
Wow,
he's always good for a quote.
He likes to pop off for sure. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Inside Access coming up next. Let's go to the Funhouse.
Quick draws.
Thanks, 695, 100. Yeah, I'm whining.
The rudeness, tuneness, text reader.
On a scratch off, I'm buying those roads. Should be clear for everybody.
The side of the Chesapeake.
Like Daytona 500.
Like 105.7 The Fan.
Start here with Tim in Florida. Says his biggest gripe from the Ravens-Steelers game has to be those three turnovers. Having the ball stripped out of your hands, out-physicaled three times is unacceptable. Goes on to say here that people may be a little too fixated on the penalties when the fumbles and the interception were the key difference maker.
I would say the biggest thing was the interception. I think that changed it, but the likely play was big because that gave them a gift of 3 points, and then they got the ball right back again.
Well, all three turnovers led to points.
Yeah.
Right.
Dough.
Two fumbles set you up practically in the red zone already.
Yep.
Text here from Howard in Baltimore says, every loss for the Ravens this year has a common theme, turnovers and penalties. When your starting offense is behind the sticks every series or giving the opposition 30 yards extra on penalties, it's devastating. Leading the league in penalties says one thing to me, you don't have intelligent players. Coaching can't fix intellect.
The thing that I would say to that is in the other two games is the offense couldn't afford to really screw up because the defense couldn't stop anybody. That was the problem. Now, this week, the defense was holding people to field goals, you know, so that's why they kind of hung in there for so long.
Texter here commenting on the point spread. For Monday night, the Ravens are favored on the road coming off the loss. Texter here says point spreads seem to be less about who will win or lose, more about trying to convince gamblers to bet evenly on both sides of that spread. So I guess the thought process being that had the Chargers been favored here, more people would have been eager to bet the Ravens and the line would have moved anyway.
You like Fred Flintstone way back when, bap, just giving you a headset up, taking the Steelers late at 3.5 against the Browns, bap.
You're locked in.
Locked in.
So any injuries?
That's my final answer.
Yes. Any injuries or changes, you're still locked in.
I have till 2 o'clock tomorrow to get that thing in.
All right.
But I'm staying with Steelers.
Safe bet, probably.
Right.
And let's see. I got one more text here. Talking Terps. Says a few positives for Maryland last night in the starting lineup. I was more excited by the Marquette-Purdue game. Nothing really to take from the win over Canisius other than the Golden Griffins probably should be playing Anne Arundel Community College instead of Maryland. Just need to shore up that second line, take care of business against Villanova on Sunday.
And Canisius plays in the MAC, by the way, the 2A, the MAC. But Maryland 7 in double figures, tweak the starting lineup. Rodney Rice, I like it. Getting in there, Deshaun Harris-Smith, you know, maybe he finds himself in that second unit, but Maryland Villanova coming up 1 o'clock Sunday up in Brooklyn. Villanova, they're 3-3. They've lost a couple of games that people are kind of mesmerized by, but that's their problem. It's been a struggle since Jay Wright shocked the basketball world and put his whistle away. And it hadn't come back. It's been a couple of years. He's, I'm guessing there's been overtures elsewhere. And he pulled a Cower and a John Madden. Said, I'm done. I ain't coming back. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. That's us. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Well, some of you I'd like to be because you're awesome. Our listeners out there in Radio Land. Again, Cordell's in for me tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday. Total Request Thursday. Vinny's film breakdown of the Chargers. The win against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
They almost blew a big lead, but wound up winning it with some J.K. Dobbins drama. Inside Access coming up next for Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.